Hello, and welcome to the Sustainable Life Podcast.
I'm Blanca, and I'll be your host for this podcast episode.
Today, we'll be talking with Erin Resch, a food and water industry expert who also runs her own eco-consulting business. This is part one.
Be sure to stay tuned for part two.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Sustainable Life Podcast. I'm here with Erin today. Hi, Erin. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. So tell us a little bit about yourself, about what you do.
Yeah, definitely. My name is Erin Resch. I'm a mom, wife, and food and water industry expert. I'm currently the conservation manager for California Water Service, but really most of my experience is in the food business, so in consumer packaged goods, the CPG space, and really just trying to help consumers understand where their food comes from and kind of getting as close to the source as possible. Because of my passion for food and water, that actually led me to creating my company. It's called Earthly Eats, and it's my consulting business. It's essentially my focus and my goal is on elevating consciousness in our food system. So helping consumers understand the real impact that we have on one of the most important things that we do on a daily basis, which is consuming food. We need it to survive. That and water are so crucial. So helping consumers in what we can do in changing our food habits and changing the way that we shop and in generally lowering our carbon footprint. And so with my consulting with Earthly Eats, what I've been able to find the most rewarding is that even bringing up to people some small changes, what they can do. And when I've had clients come back to me afterwards and tell me the impact that they've been able to achieve just from making a few small changes, 2 to 3 small changes, has been really, really rewarding. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take a lot. It really is very small things. And to me, that's what's most important, is being able to know at the end of the day that you've made the biggest impact with something that's so simple, which is just focusing on the most important things that consumers are doing every day and how we can minimize the impact.
That is wonderful. It goes back to one day or day one, right? And definitely you don't have to change your entire life to contribute to sustainability and to conservation.
Right, exactly. Everyone can do it. They just have to one step forward. That's all it takes.
How did you get into the conservation sector first? How did that happen?
Well, I would say that I've taken quite an interesting path, and I actually didn't start this. It's taken me a while to find out what I needed to do with my life, but I have a very, very vivid memory of when I was 4 years old eating pizza with my family in a restaurant, and I said the funniest thing to the waiter. We're eating food, and after we were done, I said to the waiter, well, there's starving people in Africa. Is it possible for us to send our food there? And I was 4 years old, and obviously looking at, there was no logic there, but except, my four-year-old mind thinking of all the ways you want to create a better world. That was the thought that came to my mind. But I think the point was is that we're in a dichotomy right now, and we have a very broken food system. When you look at food miles and the distance it takes for food to get to the end source, it's taking a very long time. And when you look at the food that we waste, there's a lot of food that goes into landfills that creates methane gas when released. And, we have a big problem with food insecurity. So I think that's something that really triggered me as a young child, just knowing that that was where I wanted to focus my attention. And, I think overall, it's taken me a while to get there, but I started off working in the consumer packaged goods space and, worked in the dairy business. And, I'm from Chicago, so I'm definitely consider myself a meat and dairy kind of gal. You can't be Chicago without celebrating, food and celebrating all the things that come with, having meat and dairy. That's a big part of my upbringing. And so, you know, skip, you know, into a few years, for, you know, fast forward a few years, and you know, I've made a career choice where I left the dairy industry and, you know, realized that I really wanted to focus on organizations that are working on sustainability. And so, you know, I'm still on my journey to a more plant-rich diet, more flexitarian diet. Mm-hmm. But my biggest goal is to work with organizations and with individuals that want to make changes in how they're living every day. And so I think that's my biggest passion, is it's not always easy to make some of these changes, but when you look at it as making one small step a day, I think it makes a big impact.
Yeah. Wow. It totally does though. Like, there are so many little things that even, and I know there's quite a few limitations sometimes with trying to switch to more low waste kind of processes. Sometimes there's not always a zero waste store nearby, right? And so like that requires somebody to order things online. And then that's a little bit conflicting, right? Because that all takes into account like transportation and all of that. But it's very much like a kind of checks and balances kind of thing, right? And I think in any case, like people making those changes wherever they can, it really does add up. Like it does make a huge difference for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. And there's a lot of, I think that's where a lot of consumers get confused. They don't exactly know what to do. You know, mm-hmm. If you go to the grocery store, you drive to the grocery store, you're putting, you know, emissions into the air, especially if you have to make multiple trips every week, or if you didn't, you know, make every purchase that you needed to. So yeah. Consumers need kind of a one-stop shop for grocery shopping. And sometimes it is more advantageous and more, you know, carbon, lowering your carbon footprint if you can order a product when you look at what is everything that goes behind it. And so I think that's what consumers just don't know what they need to look at when, you know, even going to buy groceries, they want to make a good impact. They just aren't really sure, you know, what those steps are.
Definitely. And it all does seem kind of overwhelming, right? If you think about it, you want to do good, right? You want to even make different changes and stuff like that, that may not seem large on the outside, but it all does take quite a lot of figuring out and thinking.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that you have those two options. And I do think that ordering in most cases is actually sometimes more efficient, especially if you can, mm-hmm. you know, consolidate your packaging and you make sure that you're researching. You know, you just want to make sure you know exactly who the company is that you're purchasing the product from. You know, Amazon now has they now have where you can shop with brands that are more, you know, sustainability focused, which is nice. They aren't in all, you know, across all spaces yet, but or essentially across all categories. But the nice thing is they have that as an option. And I think that's something that really should be looked at with consumers more, because it is very viable, especially when you think about the fact that to get to an actual grocery store or department store, it takes a lot in terms of the transport of getting products to a certain location than to have you driving to those locations as well. So
definitely, like that's all to say that there are ways, right? There are ways to go around it, but it can be very challenging to kind of start that, because I think at this point everybody kind of is aware that, you know, climate change is a really large issue, and it's not one that's just kind of approaching from the back of the room. It's quite at the forefront of so many conversations, and so there are ways, right? But I think it's making those things accessible everywhere, but then also having people know about them, right? So yeah, back to your career. What is your favorite thing about your career, about what you do every day?
So really, it's educating consumers on water and mm-hmm. food efficiency and conservation efforts at the end of the day. You know, in California, we're in a stage 2 drought for our district. And so it's letting consumers know, you know, food and water, they are finite resources. We're so fortunate to live in a country where we might not have to worry. Not everyone has to worry about where their next meal or where their water is coming from. But there are countries where people are concerned about this. Water and food are finite resources. So essentially, every single thing that we consume, that we purchase, takes water to grow. And so just thinking about that and how that can help people in terms of their impact on this earth is what I'm most passionate about. So to me, it's looking, you know, even making small changes in your life every day, those changes add up. You know, you and I together, we make a big difference. And it's those everyday tasks, everyday habits that when you can put your effort towards making small changes, it really does add up.
It totally does. And even like a strong example that jumped out to me when you were talking about the water that everything requires to manufacture and all of that, I was thinking about, I think it was in a Netflix documentary called The True Cost, is where I saw the amount of water that it took to make one pair of jeans. And I cannot remember the number exactly, but it was astronomical. Like it was probably like liters to gallons. It was probably like something like almost 1,000 gallons of water for one pair of jeans. And, or 1,000 liters. I'm not honestly sure about the conversions. That's something I will probably never understand. Different systems for measuring things, but it's just insane, right? So you think about the choice of going to a store in a mall and buying a new pair of jeans, or maybe going to your local thrift store and trying to find something there for you, right? It's those kinds of things that totally, like, they do make a big difference over time.
Oh yeah, no, most certainly. It's about 700 gallons of water to make a shirt or a piece of clothing.
Okay, 700.
Crazy. Okay, yeah, I know. I talked about that a while back. So I'd want to definitely do a fact check on that. It was a long time ago, but I think that's what it was. And it's a significant amount of water. And that's what I think most people don't understand. I mean, I've come such a long way. And I think even part of the reason why I'm focusing on this is just the changes I've made in my own life. Just looking at everyday things is I used to be, you know, when you think about in grade school and in high school, when you would go to the mall with your friends and, you know, it's the popular thing to do. And now I think it's looking at these, you know, looking at my history and how I, you know, I was a big consumer. And I think now I'm more passionate about minimalism as opposed to consumerism. And so I think it's just being comfortable in your own skin and being comfortable with what you have. I've been able to make some really great, you know, I do these parties, they're called sip and swaps, and with friends. And so, you know, you have some friends that come over and you bring 5 pairs of clothes that you don't want, or bring 5 things, you know, that you have as, you know, for me, it would be maybe 5 baby toys that I don't need for our little one anymore, and just do a little swap party. And it's really nice because then you get to still have new things. They're just new to you. They've been loved, gently loved before, but you're giving them a second home.
Exactly. So exactly. Yeah.
It's small things like that. And, you know, it's pretty astounding. You know, when you talk about the food industry, it's about, when you look at meat consumption versus vegetables, it's about 1,700 gallons of water used to make 1 pound of meat relative to 39 gallons for vegetables. So that's something just kind of puts it into perspective, just how much water use is utilized when we're talking about, you know, feeding, when you look at the meat industry.
That is bananas. Yeah. Wow. That's a huge, huge disparity. It really does make you think, like, how is it, you know, literally, how is it sustainable to keep that kind of level of production? And we know it's really not, right, the way a lot of places it's being done right now. And definitely making those changes. Like, yeah, I recently swapped some clothes with my friend as well, and it was awesome. We both had, like, each of us had this gray shirt and we didn't like it on ourselves, and we swapped it. We both like each other's now. So it's like, exactly, it's those little things. It's trying to, if you can grow some of your food, right, like it's those things that all require water. And if you can kind of find ways to go around like the new manufacturing process of brand new items, then that's probably one of the best ways to kind of mitigate that, right?
Right. No, definitely. And I think it's just trying, you know, trying something new, maybe that you haven't done before. I love this amazing secondhand store that's by me. It is unbelievable. It's called Return to Style, and it's got such amazing clothes. And, you know, just making sure when I go there, I bring clothes. And, you know, anytime I don't need clothes, I bring it there, I donate it, and then I'm able to, that's the only time I've in the past year, I actually haven't bought anything new for myself. So it's just learning how to live without anything new is not challenging at all. It's just creating, you know, a habit for, you know, if you want something or if you need something, creating a cyclical economy to make that happen.
Definitely.
And being able to build that into your life and be comfortable with it, I think, is really important.
Exactly. Yeah. There are many, many ways to do that. And it's actually amazing what you can find at some of those places. I like it better sometimes than going to like a store, because you like get to kind of hunt around for things, and there's something so rewarding in that.
Oh, I agree. I love it. Well, that's also why, you know, the Costco craze. So many people do love shopping at Costco because you are in a hunt. They don't necessarily have it all separated by where you go. And I do feel like with a lot of shoppers, that's why they are drawn to Costco. And that's why I feel like with the secondhand thrift market, it's the exact same concept. You have to kind of search for your treasures, and then you can get it. I think it's pretty amazing.
Wow, that is totally true. There's a really strong parallel there. I never even thought about that. That's interesting.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, coming from the industry, it's a very, very strategic tactic to get consumers to essentially spend more, but it's a very interesting business concept, and it's a good way of getting sales for sure from large businesses.
Yeah, wow. So when you're not working, how do you like to spend your time?
So I have two children. I have a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old. And I have my husband, and we live in Redondo Beach, California. We live in a beautiful location. We're very fortunate. So we have great parks and lots of hiking trails. So I think our favorite things to do are really going hiking, and when we can, going camping. It's a bit tough with a 9-month-old. We did that with my 3-year-old when he was younger, but with two, we're gonna have to put the camping on hold for a little bit. But that is some of our favorite activities.
That's awesome. Yeah, being outside, it's just, I mean, it's really refreshing. And as cliche as that may sound, it totally just is.
They are just, I think there's something so natural about kids wanting to be outside. When you look at babies, you know, if they're crying, they're upset, they go outside and they just suddenly get calm. And it's because you're outside, you're in nature. There's something so calming about it. I absolutely love it. So yeah, totally agree.
So what is like a piece of advice that you've received that you found to be the best, either like relating to like your career or sustainability in general? Like, is there something that has stuck with you or something that you have really like one piece of advice that you would like to give?
Yeah, so my biggest piece of advice would be from James Clear, who wrote Atomic Habits. And it's that all big things come from small beginnings. And I think that's really a motto I like try to live by. Every single small thing that you do adds up. I mean, there's always a way of looking at, you have to look at the big picture. And, you know, for your life, for every single person, you have to look at what are some of the biggest ways that maybe your actions might be, you know, having a higher global footprint on this world. And so figuring out what those are and what are some small things you can do to change it. That would be my biggest recommendations, you know, helping people understand how you can elevate your consciousness and do less consumerism and more minimalism is really where my passion is. And so I think those small steps are really my biggest piece of advice for listeners and for, you know, my friends and family and my clients, you know, the biggest three things in relation to food that I would say start tomorrow would be composting and reducing your food waste. Mm-hmm. Two would be meatless Mondays. Mm-hmm. And three would be shopping organic and local. And so just trying those three things, I think, are very small things that you can do that, you know, when you start, you just got to go. And, you know, it can be challenging, especially for people that live in apartment complexes and things like that. So there's a lot of great services that are out there. You know, there's the Lumi, which is out, which is a really great alternative for people that don't have great, you know, services in their area for compost pickup. So it's a great way of reducing your impact.
It definitely is. And there are so many things. Like one of the things that just like the sheer amount of like eco services and like eco service providers that I have discovered through my work with populating the app and kind of reaching out to associations and businesses is like, there actually are these things already. There are people doing these things, and it's just a matter of kind of consolidating one place where people can find that. And like, that's what we really try to do with Sustainable Life App, right? Is that it's trying to consolidate all of this information into an area where people can find that, because it truly is daunting to look at it from just kind of a non-collective accumulated dossier of just options and uncertainties. But there are so many things that even if you can't necessarily do low waste swaps in one area of your life, there's almost certainly a different area that you can. And it's not a matter of like restricting yourself, right? It's just a matter of like living kind of within the limits of the environment. It's not always the big things. It's definitely, it starts with the small things. And then, you know, you have people around you that see those small things that you're doing and they're like, hey, that actually makes like quite a lot of sense.
Exactly. No, I know exactly what you're saying. It's you need to be able to make sacrifices, but that are doable for your life, because some sacrifices just aren't, you might not be capable of. Maybe there's a few things that you just don't feel like within your life, you feel like you need to sacrifice, and that's fine. I think there's so many different aspects of our lives that we can make slight adjustments to that would make a really big difference. Mm-hmm. I know in learning, I don't know, have you read Project Drawdown?
No, I haven't.
It's an excellent book where they talk about, you know, and it's very surprising to me in reading through the book, because you think, you know, the transportation sector makes up a significant contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. It's about 16%. But when you look at agriculture and the farming practices that we have in place right now, it's actually about 18%. Mm-hmm. So for everybody, you know, maybe not everybody has a car. Maybe you're already living as eco-friendly as you can in terms of your transportation. Maybe you're already taking the bus, and that's something that's really great for you, or that's something that you just can't get out of. There's a lot of other ways, and a lot of it just being with adjusting your food habits, whether it be one small day. You know, I really love meatless Mondays, being able to look at what you typically purchase on a weekly basis and saying, you know, prior to instituting this, we were purchasing, you know, 3 pounds of chicken per week. Wow. And how can you reduce that to maybe half, you know, half a pound, you know, getting there. And you have to take it in steps. It's not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. But slowly having some of your meals consist more of plant rich. That's where you're going to get most of your nutrients anyway. So.
Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. But even like digging to the back of your freezer and finding what is there before you go out and buy something else. Like it's like, cause sometimes, I mean, I think we've all like been kind of susceptible to it. We just, you know, either we're hungry when we're shopping or we just forget that we have something. And then we come home and we're like, well, I have two of these things now. And it's like, you know, is really like, sometimes I think digging to the back of the freezer is just, it's magical because you discover things you forgot were there. And it's, I think it's totally human to forget about things like that. But yeah, the more we're mindful of it, and like, I really like that idea of meatless Mondays. that it's just like, it's not even, I don't even think you can call it anything close to a sacrifice, because it's one day out of the week, right? You can have, for protein, you can have eggs, you can have beans, and a whole bunch of other things. I'm not very well-versed with nutrition and things like that, but there are so many different things you can make.
Yes, 100%. Oh, lentils are amazing. They are a superfood and so much more protein than meat. So
yeah,
have lentils, do a really good quinoa salad. Oh, there's so many great things you can do. Mm-hmm. So many great alternatives. And yeah, I think doing it, you'll feel better too, you know, and it's small steps. And oh, I love it. We need to normalize the freezer clean, not clean out, but freezer food, right? And
yeah,
having it where you can just clean it out. I love that idea. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is your favorite sustainability fact that you've learned since having the podcast?
I think definitely one of the most impactful forms of media that I have seen about sustainability has been the documentary that I mentioned, The True Cost. I'm not sure if it's on Netflix anymore, but I'm sure it's available somewhere in the ether. And it's, I think it definitely was the statistics about water that was needed for the production of new clothes, or even the, obviously it's not like my favorite thing, but it's like the thing that got me really thinking was like the numbers of amount of clothing that people buy every year, or like that's discarded. You look at those sheer numbers and you really realize like the gravity of it all, but also, cause it can get kind of depressing, but instead of kind of lamenting too much about it, it really kind of like motivated me to do better in my everyday life. And yeah, I am one person, but exactly, change starts from people around you. And so if there's things that people see that, you know, you're doing, or that they might find helpful for themselves, like that's where the change starts. And so I think it definitely, The True Cost had a real impact on me with those kinds of things. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Did you see it? Did you see the movie Don't Look Up?
Don't Look Up. No, I haven't, no.
Oh my goodness, that is a must see. It's so funny, but also a very real look at our situation and what we're up against. I absolutely love it. It's with Leonardo DiCaprio. It's a very well put together film, and he's a big proponent of all things environmental. So it's definitely a must see. I would highly recommend it. It's not a documentary, but it's a very good movie that, yeah, watch with some friends and, you know, talk about it, because it's something we need to talk about. You know, what I wish I would have done with it was maybe a little bit more positive on things that we can do, but I do think that it gives you a very real look at kind of what we're up against. And it was just hilarious, so many parts of the movie. So they did a great job, I think, at bringing it up to, you know, understanding and having a great conversation about where we're at in terms of global warming.
I'll definitely have to check that out. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so, so much for meeting with me today and for talking on the podcast. And yeah, I think what you do is very inspiring. The sheer amount of things you do, I think, is impressive in and of itself, but the individual ways that you have had an impact in people's lives with your consulting, but also for Earthly Eats, and also your job, I imagine it's quite great. So yeah, thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I absolutely love what you guys are doing. Even looking in my local community, you guys are so helpful in finding where we can get bulk, you know, being able to shop and find where you can find bulk products is really, really important. So I absolutely love what you're doing.
Awesome, that's exciting. That's so exciting that from Canada and British Columbia that it's helping people in California and probably elsewhere as well. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we need. We need it at people's fingertips, so they know exactly how to find shoe repair places and places for drop, like recycling and recycling drop-off, things like that. So
definitely. So where can people listening to this podcast find you and Earthly Eats?
You can find me and my information at www.earthlyeatz.com. Go ahead and send me an email and we can discuss a consulting program.
Awesome. And where can they find you on Instagram?
So I can be found at earthly.eatz. So check it out, check out my handle, and I look forward to working with you every day. Small changes, we'll make them together. Let's go on this journey together, because I think I mentioned to you, you know, I am I'm a meat and potatoes kind of gal from Chicago. So every day, little small changes is what I've been able to do. And it really has been impactful in my life. And I'm hoping to make those changes for you as well. Love what you're doing. And thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope you have a great day. And again, thank you so much for your time. It was wonderful chatting.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The Sustainable Life app is a free mobile app available on both Apple and Android. Our app connects you with sustainable businesses and brands. Adding businesses to the app is super easy. Once you download the app, simply click the Add a Business button in the app to add your favorite eco establishment. Use it at home or while you travel to live a life in line with your core values. Want to know about our app's core values? They're the 5 factors for sustainable consumption and the 5 factors for recycling responsibly. The 5 factors for sustainable consumption are impact on human health, environmental impact, respect for human rights, respect for animal rights, and an individual's unique socioeconomic outlook. The 5 factors for recycling responsibly are reduce, reuse, repurpose, repair, and recycle. To learn more about the app, visit www.sustainablelife.app. Just a note that we are a non-judgmental community. It is our belief that no one is perfect. But if we all do our part to consume more sustainably, there will naturally be a positive ripple effect worldwide. Our hope is that the app and our platform positively impacts your health, the environment, and all living beings. On a legal note, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the guest and do not necessarily reflect that of CE Sustainable Life Incorporated and its subsidiaries, affiliates, and associated companies, together with all respective officers, directors, and employees thereof. Thank you for being such an important part of our community. The love and light in us salutes the love and light in you. See you next time.